one comes from Matthew chapter 11, verses 16 through 19 and 25 through 30. But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. At that time, Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you so much, Amanda, for the reading of God's word on this beautiful day the Lord has given to us. Turn this microphone on, Brad. We are bound together in so many ways. We're yoked together, one with each other. That's the way church is. The Christian faith is bound together. This morning, I bind together the choir and all those that do ministry of music. I bind this side of the sanctuary. All the way back to the overflow room. I see you, Mr. Bob. And I bind this side of the sanctuary. But you're not just bound as a unit. You're tethered to me, to Amanda, to those who serve in ministry. And you're tethered to Christ. You're tied together. You're bound together. There's a story I want to tell you that is real important. It's a very important story. It's a story that I studied about, and I knew at some point I would use it, but just never found the moment to do it. See, I don't know if you know it, but I've been playing a little game with you guys for a while. I've been trying out ideas of theology, of understanding who God is, who we are, how we fit together. And this idea of being bound together, being unified together, is central to this theology that I'm now developing. It's a quantum theology. I've told you, I've been studying quantum physics lately. I don't know what it means, but I've just been reading about it. And what I've figured out is what it's talking about is all things are connected, which is one of my laws, one of the things that I've come to understand. We're connected to each other. We're bound together. Well, in the year 1900, in Galveston, Texas, they just had, it's an anniversary of that. Galveston's on the coast of Texas, on the Gulf. It's a beautiful city, it was a growing city in 1900. And a hurricane came out of the Gulf, a Category 4. But back then, they didn't even name the hurricanes. They didn't really have understanding of hurricanes, didn't even know they were coming, except for signs in the sky. The sky would turn red, and there'd be certain signs on the ground where the earth would start to push up. And this storm came into Galveston, a Category 4. And Galveston, at that point, was the fastest growing city in Texas, had just a lively city built on this island. And what happened is the storm came in with the winds of 140 miles an hour, and it hit this city of 6,000 people. And basically a wall of water 15 feet high rushed over the city and literally plowed the city up into a berm that stopped the other half of the city from being flooded. Altogether, there were 12,000 people killed in this hurricane. There was the greatest natural disaster in the history of the United States. Well, there was an orphanage on the waterfront in Galveston called St. Mary's, where there were 90 orphans. There were 10 nuns. And when the storm started to really get bad, the nuns took sheets and made ropes out of them, and they tethered each orphan's group of 10 to one nun. So they had one nun with 10 orphans all bound together, just like I bound you. And they went upstairs, and unfortunately, only three survived. And they found the survivors still bound together. A nun bound with 10 little children. So many people, they were lost. Now, that's an important story, because that story is not about death, it's about life. It's not about hopelessness, it's about hope. It's not about us facing disaster, it's about us overcoming the world. And that's why we're at church. Because I can tell you right now, you won't make it alone. You can't do this thing called life alone. If you try to think you're an island unto yourself, you will surely fall. No man or woman is that strong. We need each other. We're bound together. And as Manda read, we're bound because we are yoked together. Now, this is in Matthew. What's the image of Matthew used in stained glass in ancient churches? It's the image of a ox. It's the image of a cow. It's the image of a creature that's bound together. And you know, in farming, you had to bind some mules together. You would have just a yoke would bind them together. In fact, up in the mountains, I still have one of these from the old days. It's from my grandfather's house where they had animals, and they had to bind them to do work. See, we're being bound by a yoke, and that yoke is binding us together. The same way the nuns were bound to the orphans to save them, God is binding us together. So the yoke is what connects us. It's called the yoke of obedience in ministry. And just the more Amanda goes into ministry, the more I live into ministry after 31 years, the more I realize it is a ministry of connection. I am connected to you. You are connected to me. We are connected to each other. We are connected to God. Now, understand, in the world, they're not connected to each other. They're a bunch of individual me people walking out there thinking they're islands unto themselves, thinking they have everything they need. They think, in fact, Google, was that what we heard earlier? So Google, that was a bad thing when I was a boy. If you Google-eyed somebody, you'd get in trouble. You know what I'm talking about? See, being bound together is not just living our lives. It's knowing we belong to each other. This idea of corporate. If you want to know what's going wrong in America right now, I can tell you real simple. We're not enough together. We're a bunch of individuals all running around instead of doing what we're supposed to do. And what does a coach do with a team that's off kilter, that's not winning? The first thing a coach does is he gets the team on the same page, running the same play, wearing the same uniform. They are bound together. And this individuality will not get you to heaven. Only when you are yoked to Christ will you be connected to heaven. So I want you to keep that image in your mind of the storm coming, the waters rising, the children crying, the nuns tying them together into themselves so they will be saved, and this vivid image that they still have in their eyes and their minds in Galveston. Even until this day, that story still resonates with the people. But many see it as a story of hopelessness, that there's no way that we're bound together in death. And I tell you, we are bound to Christ in death. We are bound to Christ in death, and that being bound together is what saves us. That unless we are bound in the death of Christ, we can never know the life of Christ. So how do we go from being bound together to then taking steps together? We learn. That's the next slide, Brad, is that we learn how we're able to work together. Now, churches, I don't know if you know this, church is basically an all-volunteer operation. It is. And if an all-volunteer operation goes bad, then that's not good because people aren't bound anymore by a paycheck. They don't have to show up at work. It could be that we haven't taught people enough that we are obligated to each other. Even though we are volunteer, we have obligations to each other. Just like those orphans had to hang tight with each other and had to cling to each other, we have to cling to each other. I can tell you as a pastor that one of the saddest things is when I see someone who's going off on their own and then they get lost. They go do their own thing, and then they get lost because sometimes they never come home again. Sometimes they never come back again because they're stretching the limits. They're stretching the connection. See, so we have to learn where it's acceptable to stretch that connection. And some days, we have to love each other a little more than we did yesterday. Some days, we test each other. It's called testing my patience. Did your mother, has she ever told you, you're testing my patience? My mother told me that a lot. You're testing my patience, J. Rome, as she would say. And then if she really had me in her sights, understand mothers can do this. They have a secret power. If they ever put you in their sights, you can't get away from them. They'll Google eye you and they'll know what you're doing. But if they ever get you in that idea that somehow you're testing their patience, what they're really saying is you're getting a little bit too far away from where you're supposed to be. Well, let me officially say it. This society has officially gone far away from God. Even our children will tell you in their schools, there's not a lot of Christians in the school. There's not a lot of other believers who are bound together. See, sisters and brothers, by you being here, I have thrown a rope around you. I have thrown a connection around us together so we are bound to Christ. So no matter what happens, we are connected together. Like it or not, you're in God's grasp now. He has you, and he wants you to be a part of his connection. And by being a part of his connection, he expects us to learn. To learn what it means to live together in Christian fellowship. To learn together, just to learn together what it means to live in harmony. What it means to live in peace. Peace is an amazing thing. So the thing I said earlier to some men that were gathered around the back. See, we in America, we don't quite understand this, but if you go to Europe and you go to Poland, like the president just did, and the Polish people, we think Polish people are just the type of people. They're like South Carolina. But did you know 60 years ago, not very long ago, millions of those Polish people were killed by millions of those Russian people who killed millions of those German people who killed millions of those French people? We don't have that in the United States. I don't think we've had war where South Carolina and North Carolina, we may play each other in basketball, but we don't have that living legacy that's so close. And see, what they're bound in is they're bound in hate. And we go over there thinking we can tell them what it means to have peace. These people are still mad at each other. They're still remembering, I lost my grandparents because of you other people. See, they're not bound together. They're bound apart. See, we need to learn that we're not separate churches. Antioch's not different from us. They don't have a different part of heaven from us. They're going to end up in the same part of heaven eating the same fried chicken that we are. See, we're bound together. And if you go over, say, to barbecue, we're bound to them. If you go to Lillington, we're bound to them. In Fayetteville, we're bound to them. We're bound together in a worldwide faith that Jesus is Lord. We need to learn what it means to be a Christian. It doesn't mean to have a favorite flavor. This isn't an ice cream. It means we're bound to one Jesus, one Lord, one faith. That's very important because right now we're living in a time where everybody's got their own Jesus. There's only one Jesus. And we don't determine Christ. Christ determines us. See, Christ is bound to us to change us, not us to change Christ. Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, but he didn't mean that you can have your God. He meant your God can have you. See, God is able to have us, and we need to learn what it means to be bound together. Now, where does this lead us? We're being bound. When the story I shared at Galveston of the orphanage, well, they all perished but three little orphans. They found the nuns tied to the groups of 10 of the children and all the other thousands that died in that storm and a city devastated, and they rebuilt and they're now a beautiful city, but they'll never forget what took place there when storms were not named in 1900. What is the purpose of this being bound and learning? What does God want us to do? What is the purpose of this holy sacramental table? This table that Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. The table where he shared his love and his body and his blood with his disciples, saying, when you partake of this, you are bound to me. What is the purpose of this? And Jesus says it's rest. Rest. What is wrong with rest? Our culture doesn't like rest. We make alarm clocks to get us up. We use phones to get us up. We do not rest. We don't even know what rest means. What does rest mean? Well, we're thinking in terms of activity, right? But that's not what rest means. What Jesus was referring to is not the lack of activity. He's referring to what rest really means. And here's an amazing detail. A few of you got it. You know where I'm going. A few of you have learned enough to figure out the preacher who seemingly comes from everywhere is really the most simple-minded preacher you've ever had. I'm like a child. What day is this? Sabbath, Sunday. And what is the day of Sunday called? What is it, Miss Norma? Day of rest. See, Jesus was saying the purpose of this is to worship, because that is what we will be doing for eternity. And if we can't get it right here, how are we ever going to get it right there? Jesus is auditioning the angelic band. Me, I'm going to work the media center in that band, Brad. That's what I'm going to do. Because Lord knows I can't carry a tune in heaven. They'll turn my mic down. I know they will. See, the simple fact about it is I'm bound to my Lord with all my blemishes and with all my faults and with all my sins. I'm still precious in his eyes. What does a mother do or a father do with a newborn? They look for that birthmark. They look for that little blemish, and it's so beautiful. And they say, look at that, and they chuckle, and they say, isn't that something? Or there's a mark, and they say, that looked just like your granddaddy's mark. That's what they'll say. People are curious about babies. Some babies never even hit the floor for a year because they're passed from person to person. Children are so precious. So what do we do to children? What can we do for children? How do we live in connection to children when it seems like all they want to do is get away and we want them to stay? How do we live in a world that is disconnecting at every level? Our society is disconnecting. Why do you think there's anarchy? Why do you think there's protest? Why do you think there's division? There's no common God. There's no common belief. There's no common purpose. Everybody's doing their own doggone thing, and they're lost as they can be. And every now and then, a prophet will rise up and say, people, you got to join together. You got to be together for this fight that we're fighting, because we can't win this race on our own. And I'm realizing that more as I get a little bit older. We had that big wind come in the other day. Any of you hear that and see that big wind come in the other day? Weren't that something? That wind came in. The wind was blowing 60 miles an hour over at the parsonage, and I heard it, and Leona said it, and the basketball goal, it blew over. And that basketball goal's got a stake in it, is what Terry says down there. It's holding it. It even blew it over. See, that wind, it comes, and we're bound together. See, storms are coming, and they're going to be greater than the storms we know of now. These storms are going to be greater, and it's not because of global warning. It's because of global sin. Because this world's going into convulsions, a birth. The kingdom is about to happen. God's glory is unfolding. There's signs in the heavens. And these storms, they're mounting, and these powers, these forces are blowing against us, and the water is rising. And I've seen the water rise when I lived on the Outer Banks. I've been in a hurricane just with Irene when water came up and destroyed houses in Juan Chis. And when that water starts rising, you start to panic, and you say, what am I going to do? And the only thing those nuns knew to do is say, come on, children, and we're going to divide you in groups. And they took those sheets, and they tied them together, and they tied them to themselves, and they prayed. And they prayed, and the water rose, and soon the whole orphanage was blown away, and the children were swept out into the water, and only three survived, but the ones they found were still bound together. And it's not that they died together, it's that they lived together. Because who is to say that if an orphan's tied to a nun, they won't get into heaven? I think that's a pretty good pass. Who is to say that if you're bound to Spring Hill, that's a pretty good pass? That's going to get you into the gates, because you're bound to God through this connection. The sisters and brothers, I know there's ones that are walking out there that are walking alone. Let us call them back home so they can be bound by the yoke. They can learn to live together in peace and harmony, and they can find rest and worship in Jesus the Christ. See, I everything I do is for a purpose. You saw me leave this and go out to that and tie it to that, having been tied to you. See, we didn't get here on our own. We didn't. Somebody made the path open. Somebody opened the door. Someone cared in the name of Christ to let us in. And that's what Jesus was saying here when he was saying to the children, he was saying, come to me, all of you who are wearied and burdened. Sisters and brothers, there's no burden that we can carry that's greater than our God. And I will give you rest. In other words, I'll give you a reason to be joyful. Our God says, I'll give you a reason to be happy. I'll give you a reason to believe. Because what's wrong with this people is they've lost the ability to believe. But believe me when I say this. Because now I'm going to bind us all together. Believe me when I say this. I love you. Some of you still outside. Believe me when I say this. I love you. Some of you still don't understand that. Believe me when I say this. I love you. Do you see it? You see it? Waters raging. How could those nuns have tied knots tight enough to hold 10 children together without one being swept away? Hadn't you thought about that? There's a debris field 16 feet high that saves the second half of Galveston. And in the debris field, they find these children all still bound together, not a single one apart from the binds that they were bound. See, the storm couldn't break them apart. See, that's the rest of the story. It's not that they died. It's that they together entered heaven. together entered heaven. No person will ever enter the gates on their own. We are together the children of God. See, that's the great story about Galveston. That's what finally clicked in my head when I knew this story had a greater purpose. And when I read that little detail, they were still all bound, I realized a miracle had taken place. Not they had lived, three lived, and three's always an important number. God always works in threes. But the others were still bound, and how could those ropes, those tatters, hold them together in the midst of such a turbulent time? And I've seen families that have broken apart when there's grief and there's sorrow. I've seen them leave cemeteries where they're fighting each other, and they're hating on each other, and they're bickering on each other, and they're jealous of each other. I've seen people go to war. Even my brother was in Iraq, and people killing each other, and there's wars upon wars of us being broken apart, and the devil's trying to break you. But God is making you together stronger. So my job is to make sure you feel the binds, to make sure you stay within the confines of the group. Do not leave the group. If you're going to leave the group, get my permission or get it from God and give me his slip, so I'll know. Because I don't want you going nowhere. In fact, I want you to bring more in. Because there's sheep out there that need to know this. They've been living along too long. They need somebody else in their life. They need a purpose in their life. And they need most of all God in their life. See, my prayer is that this bind, it even is strong enough to go beyond even death. Did you know every day I think of my father and my mother and my grandparents? Every day I think of them. In my dreams I have often, my father, he appears. But he doesn't appear to give me advice, or he doesn't appear to say anything that's important. What he gives me in the dreams is his presence on my journey. It's like he's supporting me, and my mother's supporting me. See, God is supporting you, so you are not alone. We are together in this. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke that's upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let us turn to page 15 for our communion, which binds us together.